Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, President Mahama exclusively speaks to BBC on number of issues, including commitment to Supreme Court ruling on election petition. National Media Commission advocates reforms of state-owned media houses. Western region goes out against illegal mining. Guinean opposition outlines conditions of participation in upcoming parliamentary election, and 3/10 of Milo lands 3 persons in police cells. The chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, Dr. Kwabena Donkor, is working proposals via the VRA to make consumers pay realistic tariffs for the power they consume. He said at the moment, VRA is incurring huge losses every day as a result of low tariffs. Dr. Donkor noted that it is economically unwise to use expensive light crude to power the thermal plants and the consumer later pays far less than the amount used. He is therefore calling for a sustainable way to make everybody pay a realistic amount so that no party will be disadvantaged.
We've been informed of some of their challenges, and we've been informed because Parliament has an oversight responsibility for agencies and sectors, and this responsibility is often carried out through the party structure. We are aware that VRA currently is incurring huge losses on a daily basis. This arises out of their low tariff. We are paying VRA less than what it costs them to generate. And let me put this in historical perspective. Until about 20 years ago, and increasingly within the last couple of years, we were totally dependent on hydro on Akosombo Dam for our power generation. Hydro is one of the cheapest form of generation, and especially Akosombo was generating at a very low cost because it was also very efficiently managed. However, increasingly, as we speak today, hydro only accounts for about 52% of our generating mix. Because of increased demand, increased population, etc., we've increased falling on thermal generation, which is far more expensive than hydro. So as a nation, we have been dependent on hydro. We have lived off hydro, and so we've gotten very used to cheap power. In our neighborhood, we have the cheapest power, and therefore, anytime you raise the issue of tariffs, people instinctively recoil. However, today, VRA, because of the increased thermal complementation, is generating at a higher cost, at above 8 cents per kilowatt hour. Particularly when they use light crude oil, then it's even higher than that. And we are paying them 4 cents. In a short term, we can draw on their reserves. But we've done this since the middle of 2011. And therefore, their reserves have been exhausted. Meanwhile, increasingly, GMPC needs to improve its system through investment. They need new equipment, especially the thermal component, and operating cost rises from every year. But we have not increased their tariff.
Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, Dr. Kwabena Donkor.
President John Mahama is advocating a visa-free Africa where member countries will create a regime to allow free movement and trade without interferences and pressures. He says he sees a lot of opportunities for Africa renaissance, and this can only materialize if sub-regional blocs are allowed to work. President Mahama was interacting with the African Diplomatic Corps in Paris, France, on the sidelines of his state visit to that country. He walked the envoy through the formation of the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union, and some relevant discussions at the Golden Jubilee of the AU in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. He stated that emerging trends require that African leaders build their countries in a way that dividends of growth is shared equitably among the people. According to the president, this can only be achieved on a platform of democratic governance and the rule of law.
So for us African governments, our duty is also to ensure that we don't create extremes of poverty, and that as our economies continue to grow, we create social interventions that allow some of that growth to be channeled to the most vulnerable classes of our society. And so one, we must create opportunities for our women, because in most countries, and in my country, women are the majority of our population. You cannot continue to keep them marginalized. And so women must take their place side by side with us to contribute their quota towards the growth of our economies. We must look at other segments of the population, rural poor, and now increasingly urban poor, because of the rural-urban drift as a result of the natural human tendency to look for opportunity. We're seeing a transformation of Africa from a largely rural continent to an urbanized continent. We have crossed that threshold in Ghana. Today, almost 53% of our population live in an urban setting, while 47% are still rural. It used to be the reverse. It was 60-40. And so it shows the trend that is occurring, that more Africans are looking for opportunity and therefore moving to urban centers. And so it creates a challenge for us.
President Mahama also touched on the need to have free movement of persons and goods in the sub-region. He said he strongly believes that having a visa-free Africa will yield positive results.
One of the things we must do is, even if we cannot achieve total unity at once in terms of merging our sovereignties, that we will let our sub-regional groupings work, and that will allow our people to be able to move across goods and services across our sub-region without the kinds of barriers that you currently find. I believe that we should have a visa-free Africa. I don't believe that if we do that, everybody will pack his bag and go to South Africa. I don't believe that. In West Africa, we thought that if we executed a visa-free regime, everybody would congregate in Nigeria, which was oil-rich at the time. But indeed, today, I mean, there are more Nigerians coming to Ghana than Ghanaians going to Nigeria, even though Nigeria has a much bigger economy than Ghana has. You know, so I do believe that we should trust our people and create a regime where they're able to move freely across our sub-regions, move goods and services freely.
The Nigeria's High Commission to Paris asked the president about the African Union's accusation of the International Criminal Court, ICC, of only targeting African leaders and threats by the AU to distance itself from the ICC. President Mahama announced that Ghana will be represented at the Franco-Africa Summit in France in December. The summit is called at the instance of French President François Hollande to discuss peace and security on the African continent. France, over the years, has shown support to increased representation of Africa on the UN General Council.
President Mahama has again emphasized his willingness to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court hearing on the presidential election petition. He mentioned that as a believer in the Constitution and rule of law, he will not conduct himself in any way contrary to the Constitution. Speaking exclusively to the BBC, President Mahama believes the elections were free and fair and insisted on the need to allow the Supreme Court to do its work.
Well, I swore to abide by the Constitution, and it was an oath I took to the Ghanaian people, and I abide by that. I believe that we have a Supreme Court that is able to determine these issues. I know absolutely that the elections were free and fair, but let's leave it to the court to come to a determination.
President Mahama says his government will overcome the energy crisis and ensure that there's new generation of about 200 megawatts of power yearly. He said it is his priority and heartbeat to solve the crisis and ensure that it does not happen again. President Mahama answered questions relating to the work of his government energy and the election petition.
It's been rocky, but I guess that we're getting on top of issues. A lot of these issues don't happen overnight. They take time. And for instance, energy, you don't just get up one day and have an energy crisis. For me, the important thing is to resolve this load crisis, management crisis, as quickly as possible and ensure that it never happens again. That's my target. And so I'm working to ensure that every year we have at least 200 megawatts of new generation coming into the system so that we never live through this again.
What would you say to the people that have suffered continuous energy shortages? They might think that after 6 months that was enough time to have ensured that at least the lights stayed on.
Well, we will get on top of it, and as I said, we are having to bring on track faster than we had intended various projects we're working on.
Do you feel you're leading an unpopular government at the moment?
Not at all. We just came out of an election that we won. You can't describe our government as unpopular. I do think there are challenges. Definitely there are challenges. But I believe that the Ghanaian people know that we're working hard and that I'm putting my personal efforts to resolve those challenges. And I think they appreciate the effort one is making.
President Mahama speaking to the BBC.
Away from the presidency, the Commissioner of the Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority, Major General Carl Modi, has been nominated as an ambassador designate by President John Dramani Mahama. A statement signed by the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Yarga, said General Modi has therefore been directed to take his accumulated leave due beginning Monday, June 17, 2013. The statement said the president has further directed Deputy Commissioner of the Customs Division, Isaac Ponti, to act as commissioner. He takes over from June 17.
Government has invited investors to assist in expanding the Tema motorway into a six-lane toll project. This major project is to ease unnecessary traffic and provide additional income through tolls for another infrastructure projects. President Mahama made the request when he met the movement of the enterprises of France, MEDEF, in a breakfast meeting at Paris, France. MEDEF is France's largest private sector union. France has already expressed interest in doing business in Ghana. President Mahama has been holding private meetings with investor giants on the sidelines of his state visit to that country. Here's a report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The breakfast meeting explored areas of mutual cooperation. More than 60 French companies present expressed readiness to do business in Ghana. To them, Ghana stands tall as a worthy investment destination in West Africa. MEDEF, the largest private sector union in France, had representatives in Ghana 2 weeks ago to explore prospects of doing business, according to the Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, who briefed the media after the meeting. MEDEF is excited to do business in Ghana. He said already talks are ongoing between President Mahama, Total and Societe Generale, who have expressed interest in specific areas of investment, particularly oil and gas. According to the minister, President Mahama made it clear that his foremost priority is investment in the energy sector, which is taking a nosedive.
Another important issue which came up, with which the president invited the French business group, is the expansion of the Tema motorway into a six-lane toll project. When one of the agencies indicated that they were one of the best tolling facilitators in the world, and the president said that a number of roads in Ghana could be built on the basis of build, operate, and transfer, and pay for the investment through tolling, and he has invited French interest in that particular direction. So there is tremendous interest in Ghana.
Patrick Lucas is the president of MEDEF.
We were all extremely interested. Everybody was interested. We had an extremely positive feeling about the potential which is in Ghana, and as we believe that the presence of France through 60 companies. First of all, the government is doing as much as it can to promote Ghana, to explain the adaptability which Ghana has got and the interest which the president has shown specifically for the private sector.
As part of his visit to Paris, President Mahama also held discussions with Dassault Systems, a world-leading software company with expertise in mining, energy, education, urbanization, aerospace and defense. end. Its focus is to assist in developing industry and companies to produce authentic products with the use of accurate software. Dassault Systems also has expertise in simulation exercises to ascertain viability of new exploits. President Mahama asked management to collaborate with the Volta River Authority on the ongoing pilot project on wind turbine energy. He also solicited their support in solving Ghana's energy and urbanization issues. From Paris, France, Pascaline Adadevo for Radio Ghana.
The stage is now set for the Electoral Commission, which is the second respondent, to open its defense today in the presidential petition hearing before the Supreme Court. Yesterday, counsel for President Mahama and the NDC formally closed their case. Consequently, the principal witness for the two respondents, NDC General Secretary Johnson Esiedu Nketia, was discharged from the witness box. In his 3 days in the box, Mr. Esiedu Nketia was led to give his evidence in chief by counsel for the NDC, Chachu Chikata. He was also cross-examined by counsel for the NPP, Philip Addison, and that of the Electoral Commission, James Kwasi Aidan. At yesterday's cross-examination, Mr. Esiedu Nketia was confronted with issues bordering on serial numbers on pink sheets, special voting, provisional voter registers, as well as an interview he granted on radio regarding voting without biometric verification.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. President Mahama exclusively speaks to BBC on number of issues, including commitment to Supreme Court ruling on election petition. National Media Commission advocates reforms as state-owned media. Western region goes all out against illegal mining. Guinean opposition outlines conditions of participation in upcoming parliamentary election. And tins of Milo lands 3 persons in police cells.
The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Blair Mihie, has called on state-owned media organizations to create reforms that will deepen their public service role. He said the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation is under-resourced and therefore cannot operate fully as a true public service broadcaster. He was speaking at the inauguration of the new GBC board in Accra. Nanama Omari reports.
The 8-member board, presided over by Richard Kwame Asante, was appointed by the National Media Commission, NMC, in consultation with the president. The members include Ekwesi Efiyebedu, Prince Ankra, and Oscar Bruce. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Blair Mihie, outlined some challenges facing the corporation and suggested possible ways of solving them.
The state-owned media must serve all and sundry, including the government, in line with the new mandate enshrined in the Constitution. In this regard, holding government accountable to the people of Ghana must be seen as a cardinal rule. The second issue that I intend to flag in the course of the inauguration of the boards is the need for reforms in the state-owned media to deepen their public service role. GBC is not a true public service broadcaster for many reasons, one of which is its limited financial base to undertake the full complement of public broadcasting, as is the case in other Commonwealth countries, the BBC, Australian Broadcast Corporation, and the PBS of the US being good examples.
The chairman of the new board, Richard Kwame Asante, called on the National Media Commission to increase the tenure of office for board members to enable them play their role effectively. He assured the corporation of steps to review the television license fee to reduce financial burden on government.
I am aware that some of these might have been occasioned by, mounting debts to other state institutions, the demand by workers of better conditions of service and better equipment, to work, and the DG has brought us here to see the type of equipment that we have here and what it is that we need to do in order to improve, the situation. 2 years is not an awful lot of time. By the time we get to understand what GBC is, we might be getting ready to bow out. So, NMC, you ought to be looking at the tenure of office. If you have to look at all of these challenges confronting GBC, then we must have the time to work. I want to assure you that we will not be intimidated by the difficulties affecting this corporation. We will take the bold decisions that is required of us.
The immediate past board chairperson of GBC, Mrs. Felicia Gwesemete, asked the current board to give the needed support to the corporation.
That was a report by Nanama Omari.
The 18th Ghana Journalists Association GJA Awards has been launched in Accra with a call on corporate organizations and individuals to support the event. The competition is open to members of the association working in the print, electronic and online media in Ghana. Entries covers works published between January 1, 2012 to December 2012. Launching the awards, the president of the GJA, Athol Money, said the awards should be seen as an effort by the GJA to promote high journalistic standards leading to the development of the Ghanaian media, hence the association must be supported. We bring you a report by Victoria Ahaji.
Mr. Money noted that organizing the event has been a challenge since the association always rely on the support of the media, corporate Ghana, governmental and non-governmental organizations. He believes Ghanaians and all business organizations must be supportive of promoting media excellence since a free society with independent and responsible media enhances development. Mr. Money, however, refuted allegations that support from individuals and organizations affects the choice of the award winners.
There are some who argue that the media will be compelled to compromise their critical instincts simply because the GJA receives support from friends and well-wishers in its organization of the awards. Their arguments do not hold water because the awards committee is an independent body. The GJA, as an umbrella body, harnesses goodwill and support towards media development from its partners and friends. All proponents and stakeholders of a qualitative media have a legitimate right to contribute towards raising journalistic standards by contributing towards the awards. As an association, we welcome that effort, especially when it promotes a sense of shared responsibility.
The Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, who was the chairman at the event, expressed the need for all media practitioners to take part in the competition. Thus, he noted, will make them unique. Major Donchebe assured GJA of the corporation's support to carry the event live on its network.
That was Victoria Ahaji's report.
The Security Council, the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, and the Registrar General's Department appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission yesterday. SNIT was questioned in respect of a case involving International Tobacco Ghana Limited versus Attorney General and SNIT itself, while the Registrar General's Department briefed the Commission on the registration of trademarks. The third institution, Attorney General's Department, which was also scheduled to appear, was not represented. We bring you Ernest Obianim's report.
SNIT, which appeared first, was represented by the Director of Legal Services, Peter Haiboff, answering questions on how SNIT purchased property belonging to International Tobacco Ghana Limited. He said SNIT acquired a property after SEBS put out a distress warrant in 1989. Mr. Haiboff further said SNIT appealed for indemnity and was involved in the case when it went to court. He said the case was still pending in court and the verdict is expected to be given next month. When asked whether SNIT knew about the settlement between the Attorney General and the International Tobacco Ghana Limited, Mr. Haibo answered in the negative. The Registrar General's Department appeared next. It was represented by the Principal State Attorney, Mrs. Grace Isahaki, who briefed the Commission on the registration of trademarks. She said, trademarks are registered for consumers to identify their preferred product. Mrs. Isahaki said, a check is done to ensure that similar trademarks are not used to confuse the market. She noted that trademarks can only be assigned to another entity if proper transfer is done. She said trademarks expire every 10 years. The lead counsel of the commission, Domiti Kofi Sopo, briefed the media on the proceedings.
Three establishments were invited: the Registrar General, the Attorney General, and SNIT. All, with the exception of the Registrar General, they were all in respect of the case titled ITG versus SNIT, SEBS and the Attorney General's Department. As you all are aware, the Attorney General failed to turn up. Previously, the Solicitor General, who should have represented the Attorney General, sent word that she was traveling. And to date, we are not aware whether she is back. We do not know whether that accounts for her absence to date. So that is for the Attorney General. In respect of SNIT, it was represented by Peter Haibo, Director of Legal Services of SNIT. So he came to enlighten us on what actually happened in the case that went before the High Court in the 1990, in respect of which a declaratory judgment was given, leaving some aspect of that case involving a counterclaim that had been filed by Smith. We asked him about whether he was aware of a settlement that took place after the declaratory judgment. He said no, they were never aware. In fact, real settlement in that matter was even not documented in the real sense of the word.
He appealed to those who want to offer information to the commission to go to the old Parliament House in Accra.
Ernest Obiani's report. The Western Regional Security Council has intensified its efforts against illegal mining in the region. As part of measures, RECSEC is collaborating with chiefs, opinion leaders and landowners to weed out illegal miners and those who front for them in order to bring sanity into the mining industry. Speaking on Behind the News last night, the Western Regional Minister, E.K.T. Addo, noted that arrests have been made and they are also on the lookout for any miscreants. He again added that RECSEC will collaborate with the Interministerial Task Force to set up by the President to address the problem.
On the international front, the UN Security Council has deployed more than 1,000 troops to the International Peacekeeping Force in Abyei amid new tensions between Sudan and South Sudan. The move comes after the killing of a tribal leader and an Ethiopian peacekeeper in the past month. In a statement, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said extra forces are needed to guard Abyei's borders because of the growing presence of armed groups.
Now back home, three persons who robbed a household of three tins of Nido and a tin of Milo have been remanded into police custody. Collins Techi, an electrician, and his friends Emmanuel Kwesia Edu, unemployed, and Darlington Tamaklu, a plumber, were arraigned before the circuit court, charged with conspiracy and robbery. Techi is on two additional charges of defilement and rape. The accused persons have pleaded not guilty, according to DSP Rainford Ajemine. Both complainants and suspects lived at Adenta in Accra. The suspects went to the house of a complainant, one Benjamin Nyano, while he and his family were asleep on the 17th of this month. Adu and Tamaklu stayed in the compound and kept watch for Techi, who broke into a room where the children slept. Armed with a pistol and knife, he attacked the daughter of a complainant, aged 15 years and 17 years, in the presence of their younger brother. Techi is said to have had sex with the girls in tins. After the act, he made away with three tins of Nido and a tin of Milo and some assorted drinks. The victims, after the ordeal, saw Edu in their compound and shouted for help, but the accused persons managed to escape arrest.
To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has emphasized his willingness to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court hearing on the presidential election petition. The president was speaking exclusively to the BBC, said he believes the elections were free and fair. The Ghana Broadcasting Corporation new board has been inaugurated in Accra with a call by the NMC chairman Cabral B. Emihia to state-owned media in the country to create reforms that will deepen their public service role. This is because most of these organizations like GBC cannot operate fully as a true public service broadcaster since they are mostly under-resourced. Guinea's opposition leader Cello Diallo says he would only take part in the parliamentary elections if the date is pushed back several months and the government guarantees fair elections. And three persons who robbed a household of three tins of Nido and a tin of Milo have been remanded into police custody. Collins Techi, an electrician, and his accomplices Emmanuel Kwesi Edu, unemployed, and Darlington Tamaklu, a plumber, were arraigned before the circuit court and charged with conspiracy and robbery. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedu-Sechi in Accra.